Philemon, chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. Philemon chapter 1 verse 4 to 7. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your faith, because I hear of your love and of faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for full knowledge of every good thing that is in us, for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So, some of you might be new. I'll just recollect a few things that we saw a week before the Resurrection Sunday. We celebrated Resurrection Sunday before that week. We saw Philemon. The book was introduced, and we saw from the way Paul is greeting, first three verses, we saw the way he identifies himself as a prisoner and the manner he addresses the members of the Colossae church, the church at Colossae. That is, he says in the first three verses that he identifies himself as a prisoner for Christ, and then Timothy as his brother, and Philemon as his beloved fellow worker, and Apphia as his sister, and Archippus as his fellow soldier, and the church in his house, and the desire that he had that grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ may be with this church. So we saw that how and what is, we examined how the identity in Christ Jesus gives a Christ-centered outlook for ourselves, your circumstances, or others, that is fellow brothers and sisters. And also how it molds your desires and wishes from within. So this weekend, we saw clearly through Paul's life. Today we'll see another facet of this identity in Christ. It's a beautiful thing that faith expresses itself through love. God is love. And a believer's life stands on this foundation. Today from the text we'll see the attributes and the source of this true love in believer's life. So first, there is handout. So if you want a copy of that, you can take it. And you can follow. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time. Thank you, Lord, for this personal record of what Paul, from his imprisonment in Rome, wrote to Philemon. This is given to us. Thank you, Lord, that today we have a privilege to sit in your presence and spend time in examining Philemon's love and the source of this love, the attributes of this love, the true love that we need in our day-to-day life. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Book of Philemon is not an imaginary story or a parable, but a real happening. It's a true story. It's a true incident. And we have seen that slave Onesimus ran away from Philemon, robbing his master probably. That's the reason that he ran away from his master Philemon, in whose house the church at Colossae met. Some statistics say that there may be two churches. There must have been two churches. One met in Philemon's house. Philemon came to know the Lord through Paul himself. Paul must have invested ample of time. I tell you, Paul must have invested ample of time and effort, and he must have interceded with God for this person, Philemon, that we can see how he is built in the Lord. And it is this Onesimus slave who robbed Philemon and ran away to Rome. We saw the last week that how he ran away to Rome because he wanted to, you know, just get mixed with the crowd of slaves in Rome. So that's probably a place where he can hide himself, because slave, the identity of slave will be easily known, and it must have been visible. You can see that. Sometimes we can see who in a flat or a society, you can see probably who is a servant, who is the worker, you can see. In a similar manner, slave must have been an easy person to identify in the society in those days. A practice of slavery was well known, and it was well accepted in the society. Now Philemon wants to just hide himself or take shelter somewhere. And we also saw last week that he lost the privilege of his master's protection or food and shelter and clothing. So he was in tremendous pressure. Now he, in God's providence, he meets Paul. He meets Paul, who was in his he was in Rome in prison for the gospel. Because of the gospel, he was imprisoned, and there he meets Paul, and Onesimus embraces God's love. We also saw last week that it's like a chess, God playing a master chess, the moves. Paul becomes spiritual father. So this is the place where we are. Today we will see from verse, next few verses from 4 to 7, how this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in Philemon's life expresses itself through love. So Galatians 5:6, that how Paul, including Philemon and Paul, we can see in their lives how this love is visible, expressing itself through love. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how it is expressing in their life through love. So look at the text from verse 4 onwards. From this text we see the picture here is Philemon. You can imagine how this Philemon must have been a Greek, and possibly he must have been mocked also among his fellow masters for his changes and things happening in his life. But this is a personal letter from Paul to Philemon. But at the same time, Paul also keeps the church on board here. If I have to say in current day context, it's something like Paul keeping the church in CC, you know, if it is an email. Paul is there is a particular reason for that. Probably one of the reasons is that the church at Colossae should support Philemon, dear Philemon, in whose house they met, with love and prayer. That is one of the reasons why Paul keeps church, that you can see in the verse 2, that he also keeps the church on board. Paul is a prisoner, and definitely keeping Onesimus with him would have been a great help for the gospel and the ministry for Paul. He mentions this in verse 13. But Paul decides to send this repented and recently born again Onesimus from the city of Rome back to Onesimus, his master, from whom he ran. So it is like Rome, and probably he ran, Philemon, Onesimus ran, and now he embraced God's love through Paul, and from there he is sending Onesimus. So three characters, remember, if I change words or interchange names by mistake, maybe it's to see you whether you're sleeping. But the thing is very clear: Onesimus is a slave, and Paul is in prison in Rome, and Philemon is in Colossae, a master whose house the church at Colossae met. So these are three characters: Onesimus, and who's a slave, Philemon the master, and Paul, who is reconciling both of them, or he is interceding for Onesimus the slave who was lost and he ran away, back to his master. So these are the three characters. You remember this. And you can see that Paul has all the right and authority to hold Onesimus back with him, because you need people, faithful men you need in the ministry. So in sharing God's word and love to others. So in his kingdom work, we need Onesimus. That's what Paul is telling. But Paul decides to send Onesimus back to his master. So we saw that along with Tychicus, it is referred in Colossians that along with Tychicus, Onesimus himself, the slave, carries this letter. In those days, probably this letter would have been like this, or I don't know, it is sealed. He would have carried, Onesimus himself carried this letter to the very house of his master from where he ran away. I tell you, it is not an easy decision. Do you think? You see this. This is not easy. It sounds like, if you don't understand the context, it sounds like simple decision that Paul is sending him back. But it is. Let's understand the gravity of the situation. Onesimus is not just Paul's spiritual child now, because Paul has begotten him. He considers him as his own spiritual child. And not only that, he also mentions in, you see that in verse 12. If you see verse 12, he mentions that, I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. These words are, in fact, this letter is packed with lot of very strong words. So Paul is saying that, my very own heart. This is the state, or this is the relationship which he enjoyed with Onesimus. Now for Onesimus' sake, here Apostle Paul is making an appeal to Philemon. Through Onesimus, though Onesimus must have repented for his wrongdoings, he must have definitely repented as he embraced God's love, what he had done to his master, irrespective of how Philemon must have been. It's not recorded here. But Paul knows that restoration of this broken relationship could be possible only when the slave returns to his master and submission to his master Philemon. So this is clear, even according to Roman law, even according to the circumstances in the society, how it is those days. This appeal by Paul to Philemon is just an appeal. An appeal can be rejected or accepted. We can see many times cricket, you immediately you say that he's out, you appeal to the umpire, but appeal can be rejected or accepted, right? And what is the consequence if Philemon, by chance, he rejects this appeal, what Paul makes for Onesimus? It's a life-threatening situation. I would like you to, put yourself in shoes of Apostle Paul. A runaway slave is labeled to severe punishment. It was a common practice to crucify a runaway slave. So if you would have been Paul, I don't know whether you would have taken this decision, whether I would have taken this decision. It's very difficult. Philemon's situation is also challenging. As challenging as Onesimus' situation. Onesimus' situation is much more difficult because it's life-threatening for him. He is himself going in a dense lion. If possibly, Philemon rejects the plea and goes ahead with the punishment because of the way Onesimus robbed him. But Philemon is also challenging. Philemon's situation is also challenging because in first place, it is very difficult to forgive the slave who cheated and ran away. You can well imagine yourself if your subordinate, your team member, your servant maid. Many times it happens that they did something wrong. It once happened for us that they went, it is mistake was on their side, and they spread rumors in the society, right? And rumors spread very fast nowadays, right? WhatsApp group and all these things. And you come to know from third party that this is what they said about you. It's very difficult to forgive them. Even if it is not people attached, nose and eyes and everything, it comes in a different form. You don't know what exactly that servant maid or whosoever told about you, but it comes to you in a different manner. So this, in fact, for Philemon, it would have been a difficult task. And secondly, if you see, if he forgives on the other side, the consequences and repercussions are different. Like Onesimus, Onesimus must have been treated well by Philemon. as one of the saints. Now he has to train, he has to treat him. And now he is not a beloved, he is not a slave. Onesimus is not a slave. If Philemon accepts him or forgives him and accepts him, now he is a beloved brother, not a bond servant. The flip side of it is that possibly the other slaves might try to imitate Onesimus falsely or taking advantage of Philemon's state and house that met in church that met in his house. Some of the slaves may take advantage of the situation and try to see that now this Onesimus, who was once a slave, now he is enjoying a brotherly relationship with Philemon the master. So the others can, these all things can, I'm just thinking, you know, aloud. I'm trying to see what would have been a challenging situation for Philemon, other than the struggle that he has to forgive this. In fact, God is helping Philemon to graduate in his love. You see this verse 4 to 7, you can see Philemon's love for saints is very visible, it's loud and it's clear. In fact, it was heard from Colossae to Rome. You can see that. It's very clear. But now, Philemon has a challenge to love the slave who cheated him. So you see that, what is the hope here? Though it sounds hopeless, Paul relying on something and sending Philemon, sending Onesimus, and Onesimus has no hope. What will happen to him? It's a suspense story. What will happen to him when he actually goes and gives this letter to Philemon? The letter, he just goes with this letter of, it's only a letter and not authority letter. It is all a binding which they have in the Lord. That is the only thing. But you know one thing, that is the strongest, the strong bond all these people had. Paul had a confidence in Philemon's love for the Lord. And Onesimus, if you see, Onesimus, though recently he would have been in touch with Paul in the church, in prison, Onesimus must have seen Paul's love for the Lord and confidence that Paul loved Onesimus. Right? He's a slave. Now he can think that whether this guy, if he really, he would have not trusted God's love and the love of Paul in Onesimus' life. Now Paul is telling you, please go back to Philemon. All the way ran away from him and came. Yes, it's true that I embraced God's love. Now you're asking me to go back to him. And there is no SMS, WhatsApp message or some kind of confidence that you get that, yes, my Philemon is okay now. You don't get any details those days because he has to carry this letter. Then only he will know the result, right? Now we know even when, whether you're, whosoever is, whether typing or not also it gives, no, WhatsApp. It says he's typing. You know that at least there is some response. Something is happening on the other side. But Philemon, for Onesimus, nothing. He has to go and give this letter and see the reaction, what happens. And then he will know what is the result and fate of his life. So, but if you see, the strongest bond here is, the only hope here is that the true love which these men possess in the Lord, that God's love is the foundation that all these people have in common. And though it is looking like something is intangible, but it is tangible and it is very much can be trusted. Paul loved both Philemon and Onesimus. Paul is confident of Philemon's love towards him and all the saints. Now Onesimus is also a saint and beloved brother. In short span of time, Onesimus must have known and understood Paul's love for God and for the saints, which includes himself, that is Onesimus also. This is a real binding factor, the fueling element. And the essence here is God's love binding all these three people. I heard of so-called love letters since my childhood. Not when I was born, but after some days, I heard, even I think as small as 4th standard or 5th standard, I say, are you? Three letter word they write, and a lot of love letters that people write. It's funny, crazy and useless stories which I heard, and it's worthless to even compare the love which we are talking here. This is not like those love the world refers, but it is indeed a true love letter written with an overflowing love, deep rooted from God's love, an unconditional, sacrificial, comforting, refreshing, producing joy and thanksgiving to God. It's affectionate, compassionate, not self-seeking, a well-thought and prayerfully penned letter by Paul to Philemon. It has, you know, though it is one chapter, it is packed with a lot of wonderful words which definitely must have popped up from love which he had for God and saints. Some of the definitions of love, if you see, I was seeing through Oxford Dictionary. It expresses like this, defines like this: warm, love is defined like this, is warm, kind feeling, a strong affection or deep, tender feeling. Interestingly, the example sentences which Oxford Dictionary uses, it uses the same word love for even physical relationship, including illegitimate affairs, desires and lust, the celebrities and all these things. Any examples what it gives, it uses the same word love, because the world has dented and diminished and exploited the very word love. Love and lust is gravely interchanged and mistaken or misused. Again, if you see, our mind is trained to understand some of the definitions, including love, in a negative sense or an absence of something. So I heard some of the government service employees or government officers telling this word that, you know, I am honest because for me, in my 15 years of life, I didn't take bribe single time, or I didn't, you know, I was not caught in scam like that guy who did in 2000 crore scam. So I'm honest. So honesty is defined like I didn't take bribe, or I didn't take bribe to the extent of the guy who took. That is the way, even our mind, when you think of honesty, you think like that. But if you see, similarly, if I don't sin, I'm holy. If I don't hate or kill or devour others, it sounds like I love brothers. I love others. But there are some absolute standards. There are absolute standards. For example, holiness has its own definition, an absolute degree in itself, and it's not the absence of sin. Not just the absence of sin. In fact, only God is holy. Similarly, love, it's not just the absence of lust or anything like that the way the world defines. But love has its own absolute definition and standard. In Bible beautifully declares, the word of God says that God is love. This is a massive statement. God is love. You can read that in 1 John 4:8 or 1 John 4:16. A believer's life stands on this foundation. Please look at the verse in your Bible. Look at verse 4 to 7. We will see some of these attributes of this true love. First thing is, it is inseparable. Which means that love towards the Lord Jesus and the saints, or can be looked as attached or joined. Paul is narrating, when we read verse 4 and 5, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love. I hear of your love and of faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Paul is narrating how he is thanking God always in his prayers. What is the reason for Paul thanking God? He heard concerning Philemon's love and faith towards the Lord and for all saints. Not selected saints, all saints. Here Philemon 1:5, if you see Philemon chapter 1 verse 5, because I hear of your love, is the word used for love is agape love. It is the same word used in John 13:35 when Jesus said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love, agape love, for one another. John 13:35. Please note this and you can go and refer this. It will encourage you. What is this love we are talking about? We'll see about this agape love in a short while, but now we see, if we take a careful look at this text, that is, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of faith that you have toward Lord Jesus and for all the saints. If you look at the text carefully, that loving God and loving saints, that is your fellow brethren, Christians and believers, are inseparable. You cannot separate. It's like two sides of the same coin. In 1 John 3:14, Jesus said this, John says this, we know that we have passed out of death into life. That is, you have faith, you love God, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. That is, you are still unsaved. You are in your pathetic state still. You can't claim that you love God and you have no love towards your brother. Say if you claim that. In fact, it says that in 1 John that you are a liar if you claim that. Then there is some problem with the love. There may be some issue, and or that is not the love what we are talking about. The love, the agape love we are talking about. Philemon had love towards both Lord and all the saints. This is visible. This was very visible. Then simply, if you see that, Paul heard about Philemon's love. It was visible. It was audible. Paul thanked God for Philemon's love toward God and saints. It's a true love. It cannot be detached. You can't say that I love God, but I'm not able to love this brother. You can't say that. If you truly love God, you will be able to love him. That's what the text says here. True love refreshes and comforts. Now we will see that, how this true love in the verse 7 and verse 7, you can see the other attribute of this love. One is that it is inseparable. Refreshes. The other attribute is that it refreshes, comforts, produces joy and unites. Philemon refreshed hearts of saints. Let's read the text here, verse 7. Please look into your word. For I have derived much joy and comfort. We'll come back to verse 6. But now we'll see verse 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of saints have been refreshed through you. What is this refreshment? So we saw a couple of days that Pune is more than 40 degree. The temperature recorded is more than 40 degree. In fact, today is a 42.6 I saw. It is in this hot sun, an exhausted and dehydrated person. I'm not sure how many of you travel in two-wheeler, and if you go in a highway in a hot sun, you can actually see that like a furnace, a breeze. It's not a breeze. It's just like furnace, you get this hot heat waves. And after a while, you can see that you will notice that you are completely exhausted. You're completely exhausted and dehydrated. I've seen the, there are some fruit shops and juice shops on the roadside. How people get refreshed themselves, right? When you just have a cup of, not chai, a glass of cold drink or juice, if you have, you're refreshed. You have seen, or when you come home, if you have a privilege of getting a glass of cold water, you may not get when you come late, but if you come on time or whenever, you may get a glass of cold water or juice, you will be refreshed. It is refreshing and it is rejuvenating, isn't it? You see that, how physically, if you're exhausted, you'll be refreshed when you have a glass of cold water. A believer's life is not a bed of roses, and God didn't call for that also. To be specific, if you are walking in the light, walking in God, you will have sufferings and you will possibly need such refreshments spiritually in your life. And every day we need this. Every day, day-to-day life, we need this. And we need to be renewed and refreshed in the Lord. We need filaments. We should ourselves be filaments who will refresh and show Christ and help to drink from Christ, especially in difficult circumstances in life's path. You can see this, how Philemon refreshed others. Philemon's love was an action. It was not a theory. It was not in words. It is with his Christ-centered love, and it is love and encouraging words, loving and encouraging words in action, Philemon refreshed saints. Look at the verse. Firstly, you can see that Paul is telling that he derived much joy, lot of joy and comfort from Philemon's love. See, it is very unique. One thing is clear, that it is comforting, it refreshes, but also there is something that Paul is deriving comfort and joy from Philemon's love for saints. There is a interconnection or link. There is, you can connect the dots here. Where is the link here? See, now you see, Paul is deriving joy and comfort. In the text, if you see, Paul is deriving joy and comfort. Verse 7. Paul derives much joy and comfort from your love, that is, from Philemon's love, because the hearts of saints have been refreshed through Philemon. So, the refreshment happens for someone, but sitting in Rome, sitting in the prison, sitting in a patric situation, in a jail, in circumstances and life-threatening situation, because anytime the case may go against Paul, he's in a prison, he's in Rome. Anytime these guys will come with a new theory, his opponents, new logic, new accusation, they can come and they can kill Paul, who is just in a prison. Paul is refreshed, or Paul is comforted. Paul is deriving much joy. I'll illustrate this. Paul loved saints. That's the reason, in spite of his difficult situation, circumstances inside a jail, he is comforted. He is actually in jubilant, or he is happy. He is merry. He is in joy because of something which happens in the saint's life. What Philemon is showing, refreshing the saints. So, say for example, if the illustration is this, I was thinking about this. If my daughter goes to a remote place for studies, and if I know some believing family is accommodating her, taking care of her, providing for her in our absence, my heart will be comforted, right? My heart will be comforted. I'll be happy because of the love that so-and-so believer is extending to my daughter. It's like that. I am sitting somewhere remote, but I can see that my daughter is refreshed, and I am comforted because of that. Prison or distance could not separate these children of God. They were united in love. Love is deep rooted in God's love. What Paul is having, Paul's love. One person's well-being, especially in the Lord, nourishes the other and produces joy and comfort even remotely. Here Paul is only imitating God. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25, if you see, Matthew 25, 36 to 40, if you read, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Jesus is telling this. And the righteous person is asking that. The righteous will ask. They'll be surprised and ask, how, Lord, in 40th verse that? And the king will say, answer like this. Truly I say to you, as you did to one of these, one of the least of these brothers, you did to me. I don't know whether my talk is refreshing and comforting, that some eyes are going dizzy or dormant, sleepy. If you want to refresh, take a cup of glass of water. Paul is just imitating Christ. You know, if a believer does what is required in love to fellow brethren, then it is like you did it for God. God is identifying himself in such a comfort as though he received it. We saw Paul is just imitating Christ. Remember the verse. The reverse is also true. If you see, Paul himself witnessed this on the road of Damascus. You remember in Acts 9? Acts chapter 9. Paul himself witnessed this. Acts 9. That when he fell down on the ground, he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? This is very Paul. His name was Saul before he came to know the Lord. Very Paul heard this. That, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. This is interesting. Paul is going and church door to door and pulling people from churches and houses and then dragging them and persecuting them. And here, interestingly, Jesus is saying, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. So what was happening to believers, Jesus is identifying himself. Paul was once, Saul was actually persecuting believers, and now he is seeing that Jesus identifying himself, and that is what exactly Paul is doing now. You know, Paul is expressing similar love for saints, including Philemon and Onesimus. We'll see some more aspects of this true love in Paul's life in coming weeks. So, but we will stop with this too. That is how this true love is inseparable. That is, it is joined together. It is same side of a coin. That if you love God, if you have love for God, then you will be able to love your brethren, love your fellow believers. Another is this love is comforting, and it is it produces joy and it refreshes hearts. It unites believers. It unites the children of God. So, but the point is, the question is that, what is this true love and how can I have this love? Where can I buy this? Can I buy this? The source. Second point is that the source of this love, verse 5 and 6, source of the love. This true love is referred as agape love, Philemon chapter 1 verse 5. Almost 115 times this word agape, especially in NASB, if you see New Testament, it is used, this instance is used for agape love. And one instance is this in Philemon chapter 1 verse 5. The love that Philemon shows towards the saints is derived from the love that he has for God through faith in Jesus Christ. It is with this love that he refreshed hearts of saints, and indirectly it derived much joy and comfort remotely in Apostle Paul's life, even though he was in prison and in pathetic situation in a prison. It even pierced the walls and iron bars of the prison in Rome and comforted Paul when he just heard of this. In a Greek classics, agape is that of a love from person's heart by the preciousness of the object that he loved. It does not depend on the general worldly terms like the criteria which world or the Hollywood or Bollywood movie says the beautiful and handsome physical attractiveness or emotions. Agape love is sacrificial and unconditional. And this is what God is. And this is what he demonstrates and practices. And even he demonstrated on the cross. This is what he enables in his children. Also in verse 6, if you see, Paul mentions his prayer point. Paul is telling Philemon that he is standing on his knees. That is, Paul is standing on his knees in prison for Philemon before God. For what? You see the text, verse 6. I pray that sharing of your faith may become effective. Effective. In what ways it should be effective? Two things here. One is Philemon to have a deeper understanding of all that Philemon has in Jesus Christ. That is some riches that Philemon has. That is God through faith that Philemon received. God has given him. The believer has eternal riches in Christ. Paul is pleading that Philemon may understand this in depth. He may understand in depth what God has for Philemon. And that is his prayer. Secondly, if you see, in effect, it is actually contagious. That is, Philemon would be a living witness for Christ, showing Christ's love, showing God's love for others. So that is his prayer. You see that he is sandwiching this particular prayer point between what he expresses or he is sharing about Philemon's love. Because now Paul is telling that Philemon, you have to graduate now. It is easy for you to love your saints. I would like to highlight this because God's agape love is one of the greatest treasure that a Christian possesses. Philemon, you have this. That's what Paul is trying to bring in Philemon's life. Through prayer point, through telling Philemon that I am praying for this. That's one aspect. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, if you read, it says that neither depth or not height or anything can separate us from love of God which we have in Christ. Through faith we receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit for a future inheritance. Bible declares that this is the love what we are talking here is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We read in today's meditation portion that, and if you go, please go home and read 1 John chapter 4, which we read from 4 verse 7 to 21. It talks about this love, how we get this love. This love, where this love which Philemon has, what is the source of this love? What is the root of this love is clearly portrayed in 1 John, if you see. And here also we can see, John Piper beautifully quoted this. Love is the fruit of Holy Spirit. It is not the product of hard work in a believer's life. Let us connect these dots. I'm sorry. I have a one. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is not the product of hard work in a believer's life. A believer's life of love can't be pursued through works. Actually, if you see in Galatians, Paul is referring this. You started through faith and now you want to work. You can actually map it here. Love in Philemon's life or in any believer's life is actually the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 3:2 that let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works or works of the law or by hearing of faith? Believers received Holy Spirit through faith and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. John put like this beautifully. The Holy Spirit is a sap. A sap is something which carries the nourishment from the root to the leaves. And faith is the root. Holy Spirit is a sap and the faith is the root. Now you can visualize that in this plant that we reap the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you can't, we are almost at the end, even before concluding, I want to tell the source of this love is God Himself. Maybe I'll read a verse from Romans chapter 5, verse 5. If you turn to this, it says that, second portion onwards, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Believer has this privilege. Philemon had this privilege. So Paul knows this. And that is the very confident that he is sending the slave Onesimus back to Philemon. That is the confidence that he knows that God is capable of producing this love, and Philemon will be graduating from just loving. Because God, Jesus said this, right? That even the Pharisees and the thieves shows loves to themselves, right? You can see politicians shows loves to themselves. Various people, you know, category of people will be, as long as they are, they will be able. It is easy to love someone who loves you, but it is easy to love enemies. That's what, or one who somehow caused damage to you. Onesimus made a dent in Philemon's heart, and probably I trust that Philemon and the church must have been praying for this. But here Paul is encouraging Philemon. And now we see that Paul knows that, as we read in Romans, that it is God, that God's love has been poured into our hearts through Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Even as we conclude, I request you to read the book of Philemon. Read this book, meditate on this. It's a true story, one chapter packed with loads of love. Paul is a mediator and he is reconciling the slave Onesimus. I hope I'm not interchanging words, interchanging names. I'm seeing whether you're all alert. So, slave Onesimus is in prison and he embraced God's love. Now, Paul is reconciling him back to his master, Philemon. True love derived from God Himself is the one, only source from where Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus are united, irrespective of situations, different situations. Paul is in one situation, in prison. Onesimus is in one pathetic situation, hopeless situation. Now Philemon, though he's in a little bit good state and as far as the financial and other things is concerned, but emotionally and spiritually, Philemon is also going through a trying situation where God's love is healing them. Today, if you take a newspaper or any digital media, you can't miss even... Today I was also reading some of headlines. You can't miss witnessing a devastating dent that hatredness has made, whether it's a family, corporates, or educational institutes, and like even churches many times, including churches, including the recent bombings in Sri Lanka, which exposes a hatred, deep-seated hatred feelings in the hearts of individuals. It is not, you may think of it's a mass group or whatever it is, but there's actually, all these individuals are created in God's image. That's what Bible declares. But deep-seated hatred is sitting in their hearts. Philemon gives a different picture here and a hope also. In midst of this prevailing evil in the society in those days, I'm talking about Philemon's days, including abuses of slavery, exploitation. In fact, there are a lot of incidences where slaves were tortured when they speak against his masters. They were thrown. I don't want to tell the exploitations or abuses which they went through. If you see the statistics, it says it's even scary to mention. But that was a situation where Philemon is, and the slave ran away. But there was no banner raised against slavery here in this true gospel. No signature campaigns or protest against slavery. But through this incident, we can see that the evil of slavery at very heart is killed here, to the love which God poured in this man's heart. Probably people would have mocked Philemon and Paul because they were not worldly wise. Same as how people must have mocked Noah, mocked Moses, mocked many people who walked in the same path. But these men actually settled for a greater and everlasting glory in Christ because they understood true love of God. We read from John 1. I want to read from, again, the meditating verse which we meditated, John 1, 4 to 10. I just wanted to read and close with this. Another couple of verses. John 1, 1 John 4, 10 and 11. 1 John 4, verse 10 and 11. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Christian love starts with love that God lavished on us. We were sinners, enemies of God. This love is in us, is the basis of loving others. In other words, it eradicates hatredness and sin. John MacArthur beautifully put like this: we have no capacity to generate agape love on our own. The Greek word for that kind of love is agape, and it is characterized by humility, obedience to God, and self-sacrifice. Paul tastes this agape love. God is empowering Paul amidst of his difficult situation and imprisonments to demonstrate this love towards his fellow brothers. He wants Philemon to consider this and accept Onesimus in the light of the forgiveness that Philemon himself received from God. Philemon also was reconciled into this glorious kingdom of God through God's love. God forgave much more. Now Paul is helping Philemon to demonstrate same love towards the one slave and now beloved Onesimus. God is love, and absence of this love simply means presence of sin. Do not wage an empty war against sin. You can't fight against sin, but pursue this agape love. It is sin killing. Let's see a couple of things there as we conclude. If you have already tasted love of God, let us surrender. It is that it's impossible for us to either gain or demonstrate this agape love in our own strength. It is impossible. It's simply impossible. Neither did Paul or Philemon. It is faith in Lord Jesus Christ and the faith working through love, expressing itself through love. We saw in Romans 5:5, it is Holy Spirit who is producing this love in us. But how can this happen? Behold the glory of Christ by looking into God's word. You know, God's word in this, that's the only way. You know, there are only two ways where you can actually behold God's glory. That is Christ's glory. That is through faith, through reading God's word. That is His Bible. Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth and produce the fruit of Spirit, that is love in you, in your life. It is with faith as a root, and Holy Spirit yields the fruit of the Spirit, and chiefly by means of God's word, through which you can understand God's love in depth. Holy Spirit will lead into all truth, including producing the spirit of fruit of Spirit, that is love. Only with this love you will be able to truly love others, whether at home or office or wherever God has placed you. Remember, your love is not based on the recipient or circumstances. But one thing, if you really want to show a perfect love, and if you're seeking or searching for a perfect person to whom you can show this perfect love, you can never search, and your search will never end. To eternity you will be searching for a perfect person to whom you can search, because nobody is perfect. You will find, even in your own close relationship, you will find problems and issues. So you can't demonstrate this love. And it is not based on the recipients or circumstances. Even in your office, even in your home, even in your society or wherever God has placed you. It is God's love in you which is going to produce this love. And it is with this love you can demonstrate love to others. If you don't understand what I am talking, that what is this God's love, if you don't know Lord, if you have not tasted His love, discuss with someone here during lunch. I would like to place this before as the last verse, what Bible declares in Romans chapter 5 verse 6. As a continuation of that verse, Romans chapter 5 verse 6. For while we are still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For the one will scarcely die for the righteous person, though perhaps for good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a challenge if you don't know God's love. If you have not tasted God's love, you see this. Christ died for us. seek this agape love, you will find it according to God's will and mercy and grace. Then your life will be built on this love as a foundation. Parents, love. If your children has not tasted this love, seek and cry to God. Otherwise, they will seek love in their life in an unwanted place. Seemingly, it will look like love, but it will be a dangerous trap for them. Show them this love, and point them to this love which is in Christ. Seek this love. Then your life will be built on this love, agape love. Then this life will overflow in others and it will lead you to eternity, where you will see in reality the one who loved you and gave himself for you, that is Jesus Christ. Yeah, let's close with this. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, thank you, Lord. What a wonderful